Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic, right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the NCL. Sitting to my left is Phil Davidson. He goes first today, Ed.
Wow. Oh, we're going left to right.
We certainly are.
What an honor.
We're painting a picture for you, radio listeners.
Counterclockwise. Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
How are you?
Thank you.
Ed Maher.
Thank you for the special treatment today.
Yeah, well, you know, you're looking good.
Thank you.
Ed Maher with the National Coalition of Labor. How are you?
Apparently not looking good, but I'm doing okay.
You're feeling good, though.
I'm feeling great.
So I got to give a shout out to Operating Engineers Local 926, where I was yesterday in Caldwell, Georgia. You know where that is?
I bet there's a Waffle House nearby.
That's probably a good point. I think I passed about 30 of them on the way there.
Yeah.
I flew into Chattanooga and there drove 2 hours south to go to the operator's picnic. It was really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really, really cool.
What's the main industry in Caldwell, Georgia?
Waffle House.
Okay.
My kind of town, Phil.
Didn't you say Waffle House joined in with the rest of the horrible corporations that are challenging
trying to
the constitutionality?
Invalidate the NLRB.
Waffle House.
I know.
What are they? Are they going to pay their workers like an extra 17 cents or something?
Yeah, I don't know if they could pay their workers less.
Did you say like Denny's is Waffle House for people that can't fight?
Yes.
I saw a Waffle House video where it was like something crazy with this woman, like out of nowhere, like a chair was flying towards her. She grabbed it with her one hand and like had a coffee pot ready with the other
hand.
Not
her first time.
I love that.
Yeah, if you've ever been late night at Waffle House, it's a show.
Yeah.
It's like dinner and a show.
Yeah. There you go.
If you don't have a lot of money, but you will still want some quality entertainment.
Bring your body armor. And that's the area where there's literally a Waffle House across the street from a Waffle House, right? I mean, they're on the
I will say in my experience, Waffle House is at its very best in Georgia.
Yeah.
Because they're in competition with the one across the street, so the service is great.
I love it.
Bunch of union busting waffle slayers.
All right, and then we'd be remiss to not at least take a tiny, tiny poke at our president for his dexterity with the English language.
I said, well, let's see how we say that. Menafin.
As I tell the kids when they're working on their spelling words, this one is kind of a tricky one.
Sound it out.
You see the minnow's fin?
Yeah.
I see the minnow fin.
You're giving a groundbreaking speech about the cause of autism, and it's like the cause of it is, I should have practiced this for 5 seconds before we started.
And so in his defense,
he's never taken Tylenol before, so he's probably...
Well, the best thing is, you know who took Tylenol?
Who's that?
Ed's mom. When she was pregnant.
Yeah, she took it while she was pregnant with me, but only when she was really, really hungover.
That's a horrible
I
joke.
Asked her.
You asked her?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Did you ask her if that joke was okay?
No.
The funny thing about acetaminophen is, like, instead of just saying that, you know, he's like, all right, let's just call it Tylenol.
Yeah, like, that's a company.
And I don't feel bad for a lot of companies, but I feel bad for Tylenol, right? Like, they've taken a beating over the past 50 years, right? They had the murders thing going on, right? And now they got this depression code after them.
Or was
it
the 30 times in the press conference where he said, don't take Tylenol?
Oh, man.
But aren't there other brands?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Motrin, Aleve, Advil.
But just don't take the Tylenol.
Mm-mm.
All the other brands are fine.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
So. He figured out that he knows how to say Tylenol.
I've been the whole reason like, why.
Well, see, I think that is, yeah. Here, don't take acid. That would have been a long press conference.
Yeah.
It was a good one, though.
And then he got stuck on the elevators. The elevator gate.
That might be the worst job in America right now is the escalator maintenance guy at the United Nations. Because
right now they're pouring through his social media.
He spent 10 minutes at the UN talking about the escalator. I couldn't believe it.
That's great.
It's like, we got to get to work here, people.
Yeah. And the teleprompter didn't work.
He didn't know what he was supposed to be talking about.
There was a Fox News guy that said, you know what we should do? Let's just bomb the UN.
Yeah.
But he was kind of joking, so I give him credit for that. It was like, but I think it's in New York, so there might be some collateral damage, you know, or something like that. Yeah. It's still kind of funny. I know they want us out of it. I can tell you that much.
As Mitch Hedberg said, there's no such thing as a broken escalator. There's only stairs.
Yeah, just put the sign that escalator is temporarily stairs.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, so today we have no guests.
Right.
Right? We're just talking amongst ourselves.
We have a lot of interesting takes on a lot of interesting things.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on.
That's
and
for sure.
And I'll tell you, like, look, let's just go back to actually being the workers' mic for a second. There is a bunch of government budget showdown, you know,
yeah.
Right? As normal, I guess that seems like a thing now, right? Isn't there always like a government's going to shut down? Government's going to shut down. It just like seems like every time whatever their budget comes up, they're getting ready for a shutdown. But well, in this case, right?
It's almost anticlimactic, though, because
right.
A shutdown means jobs are lost. We've already seen hundreds of thousands of jobs lost. So.
Well,
guess what?
Could be more, I guess, but
he's about to double down on that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, smartly, you know, I give him credit for this. He said, guess what? You shut down the government. We are prepared to lay off hundreds of thousands of federal workers. They're never coming back. So you want to shut it down? They're gone.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's a big threat.
And they're probably going to be gone anyway.
That's the problem.
Right? So, like, what's the difference?
You showed your cards. Like, people, there's nobody out there wondering, like, I wonder if he'll actually do it. It's like, even if you have a budget, he's going to do it. He's already done it. He's laid off a million, or he took away union protection for a million.
Yeah.
And laid off a couple hundred thousand.
Right, because now they don't have union protection anymore.
Yeah, so being a federal worker right now, I don't know. I mean, I guess they're not buying a whole lot of yellow banana or green bananas, as mm-hmm. they say.
Well, I'll tell you this, right? So I think, obviously, you know, the world is changing. And whereas, you know, these white-collar jobs or, you know, going into civil service as a career was an altruistic thing to do. You didn't make a ton of money, but you had good benefits, right? And you were, I don't know, helping the environment, EPA, the VA, you know, like doing, like, you know, God's work is changing. And I read that there are, right now in the United States, close to 500,000 unfilled manufacturing jobs. 488,000 unfilled manufacturing jobs.
Yeah.
And they're saying by 10 years from now, less than 10 years from now, there's going to be 2.8 unfilled manufacturing jobs. Now, mind you, at a time when I think both the previous administration and this administration trying to get manufacturing back into the country, mm-hmm. you know, maybe there's a pivot then. Instead of going like, hey, I'm going to be a blank office worker, you know what? I'm going to go work in manufacturing. And if the jobs are union and, you know, are well protected or, you know, the companies are decent, there's nothing wrong with that.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Manufacturing has got a very proud history in the United States. The key thing is you have to be able to work in manufacturing and support a family
yes,
on that.
It's got to be a good job.
Yeah, you can't have a second job when you're working in manufacturing.
No.
Because otherwise you're falling asleep at a machine, you kill yourself.
And if we're, as a country, trying to push the reemergence of an industry where you can work full-time and not be able to survive on it, then that's, I mean, we've got to revamp what we're trying to push out there.
Yeah,
well, then you're back to the Industrial Revolution.
Right.
You're back to, you know, why unions started in the first place, because they couldn't afford it, right? They're working 12, 15, 18, you know, whatever hour days. They're living in company towns. So if you want to do this right, make sure that it pays a living wage.
Right.
Right? Don't strip union, you know, bargaining rights. And I want to talk about what's going on in Wisconsin in a minute when we come back. But, you know, like, there is a world in which some of these jobs should be, I'm not saying they are, but should be an okay way to make a living and support your family.
Yeah.
Right? The manufacturing jobs that are paying you $15 an hour with, you know, garbage benefits, those are not them.
Right.
And
now that so much of it is going to be automated, you bring in people who are educated, who you pay them a higher salary, and let them run the floor and let the automation run its thing. And yeah, it's no longer just like a low level entry job.
Phil, are you saying that the robots are here?
You know how I feel about this topic.
Yeah. Phil's not getting a lot of sleep these days, folks.
No. Phil, the little hair I have left.
Phil's comedian job is going to be taken over by a robot.
It'll be a close one, though.
Yes.
That robot will probably be pretty funny.
Oof.
They'll have great punchlines.
By the way, when are you going to have your next show?
I'm working on it. Working on some dates.
Yeah, wasn't this the year of Phil's comeback?
And talking to my road agent.
He did come back one time.
Once.
I know.
Yeah, it was funny. It was great. Let's do it again. Enough. Come on, Phil. Let's get, man up.
I'll right. sell you PhilDavidson.com. I bought the domain.
Did you already?
I'll sell it to you.
That was you?
Yeah, sorry.
That's pretty funny.
You got to make a buck. Dog eat dog world.
$100,000 for that domain? Wow.
I have a hard bargain. It just shows my confidence in
you. There you go.
That's
I like
what
it.
I think you're worth.
I like it. All right, listen. Take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about a bunch of stuff happening in the world of workers, laborers, et cetera, right here on the Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. I was in Wisconsin last week, and shout out to Local 420, Alex Tetzlaff. He's the business manager and his crew. And so check this out, all right? First of all, also, Local 420 just won a couple organizing drives up there. So that's really cool for some stationary engineers. And so that's a positive, right? But in Wisconsin right now, there are three or four bills pending. You know what they're pending to do?
What?
Never get passed, first of all. But they are proposing, Ed, and Phil and listeners, to repeal right to work.
Oh, okay.
How do you like that?
I love it.
Right?
I like it an awful lot.
So, repealing right to work, repealing the ban on project labor agreements, because in Wisconsin, in their infinite wisdom, the state banned municipalities from entering into a project labor agreement, even if the municipality wanted to.
Right.
They're not allowed to.
Was yeah. that during, because, what was that, Prop 10?
Act 10,
excuse me.
Yeah, so, okay, so for those of you listening, just Google Act 10, but that was back in the day with Scott Walker and really sort of like terrible. Yeah, let's hold on a second.
Yeah, he really was the absolute worst.
He's just a bad person. And he ran for president, and his whole thing was like, oh my God, look what I did with Act 10. And everyone's like, yeah, we don't care.
He got like 1% and then dropped out. Yeah, so yeah. It was one of those situations where you do all this crazy stuff to try to get a national stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he did it, and it was terrible for Wisconsin. And then he was met with no support on the national stage. So
he
all
was
that
in the race for like 2
for
weeks.
For nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Wisconsin has lost a ton of teachers. They've had a bit of a brain drain.
Yeah. The wages have gone down.
Wages have gone down, right? It's just like it really decimated things. But recently, a bunch of unions challenged the constitutionality of it, which I have been saying since day one, this is unconstitutional. And finally, they had. I think they felt like the political and
the makeup of the Supreme Court,
yeah, atmosphere was good. So they challenged it, and they won. And then on appeal, of course, because everything gets appealed, they put a stay on the challenge, so it's still in effect.
Okay.
And eventually, it will wind up at the Supreme Court of Wisconsin.
Which
and hopefully,
has a liberal majority now after that very expensive race that Elon spent $20 million on and lost.
Yeah, the most expensive judicial race in history. And it will wind up there. So that's Act 10, which is the genesis of all these, you know, these laws being put in place. But what they're trying to do right now is, you know, basically peel them back. And so obviously it's the Dems that are promoting it. It would force penalties for businesses that misclassify workers, right? And then near and dear to our heart in the building trades, it would put prevailing wage back. Okay, so my comment is this, right? So Wisconsin has a Democratic governor, correct?
Yeah.
And the
He's
House...
He's not going to run again, he said.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Why?
Tony Evers, great governor. I think he just said he did his 2 terms, and I think he's ready to call it a day.
I can't see how these are good jobs, by the way. Being a governor, I mean, or being in any kind of politics
when you're
right
constantly
now.
Under threat there, yes.
Yeah, I think that's right. But they also
they're always
have
trying to strip him of his power, of his authority there. They're like, new law, the governor can't do anything.
Well, you know, I'm going to talk about that in a second in Missouri. So, so they have a Democrat governor, and then they have House and Senate are Republican.
Yes.
Okay. Labor. And which labor does up there anyway, meaning the building trades for the most part, plays both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a smart move right now to reach out across the aisle, and both for Dems as well.
Absolutely.
And say, let's pass these bills because, first of all, they're popular.
They're right? Very popular.
The workers of Wisconsin, left, right, middle, doesn't matter, I believe would support every single one of these things. Getting rid of right to work,
yeah.
Right? Putting back prevailing wage.
There's economic benefit to doing all these things. It's good for the economy.
There's no question about it.
They're winning issues. We saw how it went in Missouri. We saw that it was just flipped in Michigan.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep.
So this would be a great time for some bipartisanship, perhaps, on a state level. So we'll have more on that. But I want to talk about Missouri for a quick second, right? And here it is. Missouri just passed a new gerrymandered, you know, political map, of course, what everybody's doing right now on both sides, which is just absolutely insane. And the governor called a special session to do it. And now they're, you know, there's litigation over whether he was allowed to call it, blah, blah, blah. But behind it, like right behind it, very sneakily, what Missouri did was they have a ballot initiative. Okay, and if you remember, a few years ago when they tried to pass right to work in Missouri for the second, third, fourth, umpteenth time,
and it went to the voters.
Yes,
yeah, the labor went out and got petitions signed and put it on an initiative. Mm-hmm. It got destroyed.
Yeah,
absolutely
destroyed.
The people
did not want it. They spoke very clearly.
Josh Hawley, of all people, and I know I talk about this guy,
senator from Missouri.
Yeah, he said, I am no longer for right to work. The people have spoken.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, people have spoken, but the legislators have decided to change the rules of the game. So ballot initiatives going forward, if this passes, this has to go to an initiative itself, right? Mm. But you know there's going to be a ton of money pumped into it. If the ballot initiative passes, what does it mean? It means that it would be almost impossible to get a ballot initiative passed and change the Constitution or whatever the case be, because you will need every county to have a vote by blank or whatever it is.
You'll need 5 million signatures.
And all you have to do is push money into one county and then, you know, make sure that one county goes south, and then voila, ballot initiative gone. So, you know, things like right to work, right? This is their way of getting around it and going, I see. Our people don't want it, so let's figure out a way to do it anyway. Yeah. I mean, it would be like, you know, once again, changing the rules of the game in the middle of the game. It'd be like if the Bears had a wall built into their end zones, and just every time they, you know, the other team was about to score, which is quite often with the Bears, they would just simply pull up the wall and go, oh, you can't score anymore. Yeah, There's a wall here now, right? What do you think about that?
I think they're still better than the Giants.
The who?
The Bears are still better than the Giants.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. So anyway, I just thought that was
interesting. Is the governor pushing this?
The governor pushing the ballot initiative thing? Yeah, of course.
Because he spoke to the Carpenters Union and he said he's pro-labor. He's not going to mess with labor.
Oh, you know what? Then I don't know. I don't know if he is or not. I don't know if he's. I'm hoping he's not. I know he pushed the gerrymandering.
Yes, that's for sure.
I don't know about the other thing, so I guess I shouldn't say. Governor Kehoe, I believe,
is his name. Right?
So he spoke to the carpenters?
He did.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
At your convention?
He spoke at our delegate meeting earlier this year.
And do you think it was lip service, or do you think he actually meant
it? Hard to say. I hope it wasn't
lip
service.
He's a politician.
He's a politician.
Every single one of them.
Sometimes they tell you what you want to hear.
They're an expert on lip service.
Wait, what? They tell you what you want to hear? You know, who doesn't do that? Trump.
Never.
Trump tells you what you don't want to hear.
No.
I hate my enemies. What?
I deplore my enemies. You know, like, you're a better person than I am because I hate my enemies and I'm going to punish them. And guess what? He does. Right? Yeah. He just indicted Jim Comey.
They find somebody to indict him for something.
When you're 80 years old, you just have no filter anymore.
That's a good point.
You'll say whatever comes to your mind.
Well, I know that from your father.
He's the king.
That's for sure when it comes to you anyway. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mic. More show to come, sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic, right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. And by the way, For more information about the National Coalition of Labor, you can go to coalitionoflabor.org. You can call 800-433-2099. And I don't care if you're who you are, union, non-union, you want some help getting into the trades, you need some direction. We get tons of those calls. Like, hey, I heard your show. Love to get my kid into trade. You know, what do you think? How does it work? Blah, blah, blah. We're a source of information. And once again, if your union is not part of the coalition, ask your leaders why and join them. Join
you
us.
You could be getting a lot of great benefits for free.
For free. That's the key, free. So check this out. Speaking of the trades, Phil, right? Donald Trump is demanding that Harvard open up vocational programs.
Correct. And it seems to be well received.
What kind of vocations?
Anything you can imagine. Trades, hopefully.
Wouldn't they have that be like a registered apprentice program? Or like, how does that work?
I'm sure it wouldn't be.
I'm sure it would not be. But let me ask you this.
Hold on. Brown University agreed to invest $50 million in workforce training programs as part of its agreement with the White House.
Good.
And Harvard is open to committing $500 million to similar programs.
$500 million?
Yes.
To workforce training?
Correct.
Means what?
The Harvard Vocational School.
So wait a second. Harvard's where? Connecticut?
Harvard is
wow.
in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Boston.
Oh, that's what I meant.
I went there.
Yeah.
To visit.
To visit. Okay.
Yeah, I bought a t-shirt.
All right. So it's in Cambridge, right?
It is.
Do they get a lot of like worker bees around there? I guess Boston area, right?
Yeah. Boston. Southie. Come on.
Okay, fair enough. So you think that the carpenters already have big heads. Imagine the carpenter that went to Harvard.
Imagine any tradesman. It's like the guy on the dozer, like, you're doing it wrong. Oh, yeah? Well, I went to Harvard.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to the carpenter's training site right down here in the Loop. Oh, yeah? I went to Harvard.
Yeah, when I was in Cambridge. I'm going to start all kinds of beefs on the job, I'm telling you.
That is really funny.
College boy.
I'll give Trump credit for that one. Yeah, because he said, look, you get too much federal funding. Why don't you put some of this funding towards things that are useful for people?
Listen, Phil, I got great news for you.
The devil's in the details. I'm going to wait and see before I get behind anything here.
But here's good news for Phil. He can finally get into Harvard.
Yes! I tell people I went to the Harvard of Midwest, the University of Iowa. So.
I went to the Harvard of the City University.
There's a town in northern Illinois called Harvard. Their high school is Harvard.
So that is that's really weird, and you can't make this stuff up anymore, and you don't know what's true or not true, but boy, holy cow.
Well, as more young people are starting to avoid all saddle themselves with all that college debt, they're looking for alternatives that have good pay, and there's good pay.
The only problem with Harvard's training program is it costs $100,000 a year.
Harvard is actually, for folks who don't have a ton of money, Harvard is very affordable.
Yeah,
all the Ivies have a program where if you can get in and your family makes less than a certain amount,
right,
you pay less than a state school.
Yeah, I don't think any of the three of us have to worry about children.
No.
Oh, with them not getting into Harvard?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
So. My kids, I don't know, speak for yourself. My kid's getting into Harvard.
She better.
It's her backup school.
That's her safety school.
Yeah, in case she doesn't get into Northern Illinois University.
That's right. Go Wildcats or whatever they are.
As long as you Huskies. Spell your name properly.
Huskies,
you
get into Huskies. NIU. So check this out. Ed, you talked about this ICE arresting roofers in, where was it?
Naperville,
that were on the roof.
Yes.
What did they do?
The roofers were on the roof?
The roofers were on the roof. So this happened, I think it was on the 17th. So some more details have come out about this. But this is when ICE was first starting to kind of sweep around Chicago. They rolled up on a Menards in Naperville and scooped up all the people that were out there for day labor. And one thing that was all over TV and made national news was there was a home in a subdivision in Naperville where the roof was getting redone. Just a house where the roof replacement was going on. ICE rolled up, and they took out all the ladders up to the roof. And there were six workers up there. And they said, reportedly, either jump or surrender. So five of the six roofers jumped. One of them, I think, broke his leg. And two of the other ones ran away. And they were chased by ICE agents with their guns drawn in a subdivision in Naperville.
Oh, my God.
There were photos of the one who broke his leg getting arrested at gunpoint. And the tricky thing that happened was they were all documented. They were all documented workers.
So why'd they run?
This intel?
I don't know why. That's a very good question.
Yeah.
You know, like, why would you run? No matter what, they're going to get you.
Yeah, especially after you broke your leg.
Yeah, they have the power of, you know, basically another branch of the armed forces at this time and the budget to go with it. But they were all documented. So it's like this big rollout, this much anticipated rollout of ICE and Homeland Security in Chicago. You figure they spent that time planning. It's just they're driving around looking for a house with a roof. And are they going to ask questions? Nope.
They're just going to go and do it.
They're just going to see
them. So let me ask you this, Ed. If you're a contractor or the union, obviously, you got to make sure that people are prepared for this, right? I mean, there has to be some training. Like, what are your rights? You know, what can you do? If their ICE rolls up, you know, do you call your BA, for example? Do you call your
contractor? I'm guessing these weren't union roofers.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what.
I'm sure that's right.
And there's going to be people out there who are just like, well, these weren't union roofers. They're taking union jobs. These are people who are allegedly documented, who have the right to be here and work, who are at work, who are just being like, I mean, harassed doesn't go far enough.
How are they deciding on their targets? I mean, if you went to most roofing jobs around metropolitan Chicago, 90% are probably undocumented.
I think they're doing the old close your eyes and point at a map.
Okay.
And let's all go there and hope some workers are out. I mean, they're going to Menards. And all the people they're rounding up appear to be at work.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know? They're not loafing. They're working.
Well, the ones that stand in the parking lot, these day laborers or whatever, right? And contractors using them, paying cash under the books, you know, off the books and whatnot. I don't agree with that.
No, it's a dirty business. That's what we're always trying to fight against.
Yeah, for sure. That's what you guys do a great job of fighting against. And those are taking jobs.
Yes.
I mean, they're bad. And I'm not sure.
It's human trafficking.
Agreed. Yeah. And I think those are predominantly undocumented, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course.
So
I did not hear anything about them arresting any of the people that were paying those folks or employing them, you know, like,
well, it goes, look, you're 1,000% right. It goes back to like the Hyundai plant that got raided, right?
Yeah.
And they had how many, I forget what it was, like 200 or 400
South Koreans,
by the way. That's weird. But yes. I guess
you don't hear it every day.
Is Hyundai South Korean?
Yes.
Okay. So fair enough. So they came with the boxes across the ocean.
I'm not going to assume that.
How'd they get here?
I'm not sure.
But either way, they're there, but and they're not documented, right? And so of course, immediately, there's a deal to just return them back to South Korea. What about this?
Because we do a lot of what happened.
What did, yeah, what did yeah. South Korea give up to get them back?
Right. But what happened to Hyundai? Do they get punished? Do they get fined?
I'm going to go on a limb and I'm going to say what probably happened is they said, you know, we have a staffing firm that takes care of all this and they tell us that they're doing everything on the up and up and we're going to look into this because that's what happens every single time. There's a layer between company and employees and that's the layer where there's no accountability whatsoever.
That has to be done away with.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be done away with. It happens at McDonald's. It happens at...
And listen, and even if there is a staffing, you know, don't tell me you don't know. Just don't bother with that argument anymore. Right. I didn't know. I didn't know that kid was 13. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You fit him for a chicken killing outfit, and it was six sizes too big for him.
I got to tell you something, though, that popped up on my algorithm and social media that is absolutely one of the most fun things I've watched in, like, I don't know how long, but a guy pulls
up. Is this
family
friendly?
Yeah. Oh, a guy pulls up at a Home Depot or a Menards or somewhere where they have folks out there who are willing to work for the day. And he gets them in the car. He offers them a bunch of money. They get in the car and he gives them bathing suits and he takes them all to a water park for the day. So you just have these guys having, and it's all filmed. They're having the time of their lives. They're going on roller coasters and stuff and down water slides. And I mean, like, say what you like, all of the politics of undocumented immigrants aside, it was really fun to watch because these guys are in the back of a truck and he hands them a bag with clothes and they're like, oh, what have we done? What are we getting ourselves into? And he takes them to a roller coaster park.
You know what I took out of the story?
It's hilarious.
Ed likes watching guys in bathing suits.
I like unexpected endings, and they were just having so much fun.
It was an unexpected happy ending, Ed.
We're going to Epstein's water park, everybody.
That's horrible. Acetaminophen. Aceta, you didn't release the Epstein files. Wow. Okay. Lots of jokes. Listen, how about this?
Did Dean Cain show up in Naperville?
Oof.
I'm not sure.
He flew in.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard anything out of
Dean
Cain.
Do we have time for one more?
Absolutely.
All right, so check this out. We talked about the machinists in St. Louis and how they were going to vote on their their own proposed contract.
Yep.
Which, I don't know. Maybe they know something that I don't. Kudos to them. But they voted on their own proposed contract. And
as promised.
Weirdly enough, it passed unanimously, 90-10. And they went back to the company and said, here you go. This is the contract that we'll accept. And, you know, Boeing said, listen, you've accepted the other two contracts that got shut down by your members. Like, what? This is not a thing, right? We don't do this. We already told you, you know, blah, 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 blah. Now, look, hopefully they resolve it. But unfortunately, Boeing, and shame on Boeing for doing this, by the way, shame on you, had a job fair where they are hiring permanent replacements.
Right.
And permanent replacements, as you all know, are the worst people in the world. Taking somebody's job, you might as well just go into the house, put them at gunpoint, and take food off their table. Yeah. They're terrible, terrible human beings.
The scabs of all scabs.
The scab of all scabs.
I'll work for less than you will.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And, you know, Boeing allegedly had hundreds of qualified applicants to build these fighter jets. And, like, yeah, okay, sure. Sure you did. And you know what? Maybe they did. But shame on you, Boeing, for hiring permanent replacements. You know what? You want to temporarily run it? Hire temporaries, right?
Right.
Don't tell the people out on the picket that you're going to permanently replace their jobs. They're fighting for their families. They're fighting for the communities. They're fighting to, you know, raise wages all over. And Boeing, who gets all of their money, basically, I shouldn't say all of it, but a ton of their money from the U.S. federal government, right? They're going to use that money, our taxpayer dollars, our money, my money, to permanently replace people.
And they're being punished because folks who work on missile defense systems and fighter jets are being paid less than people who build the planes for Spirit Airlines.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an unreasonable beef.
Agreed. Agreed wholeheartedly.
And then it gets even worse because Boeing on Wednesday announced that they are relocating the F-18 fighter jets life modification out of St. Louis. At the end of 2027, all that St. Louis-based work will be transferred elsewhere.
Where?
It doesn't say where.
But. Well, I'm going to go with this.
If it's anything other than Chicago, I'm against it.
Yeah. looking at San Antonio and Jacksonville, potentially.
That's way to the south.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Right to work states?
Say. Yep.
Wow.
Just don't, if you're going to San Antonio, just build it on high ground.
Right.
That's a good point.
It's very important.
You know, then now, you know, of course, what does that give the union? It gives them an extra job to do, which is protect those jobs, keep them in St. Louis and in good wage-paying areas, right? Yeah, you got to do that. I know the steelworkers are going through this right now with some of the mills that are saying, oh, you know, we're going to stay open until 2027. And they're like, no, that's not good enough. Like, we need long-term commitments.
Yeah.
So add everything else that the union's got to do besides chasing these jobs around. So it's they got their work cut out for them, right? So
it might not be necessary if in so many cases the government wasn't working directly against American workers.
Yes.
It's like, who should be doing this? Not the union, it's part of their job, but who should be looking out? Oh, the government the should government. Be looking out for American workers.
That's socialism, Ed.
Oh, yeah, like paying $200 million or whatever
to the
soybean farmers.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're a soybean farmer, I feel for you. You're a victim of this trade war, but you don't get to be against socialism ever again.
No.
Yeah, you should get, like, socialism rules tattoos.
Yeah, like, if you're paying more for goods because of the tariffs, just rest assured that your money is going to the soybean farmers who can no longer sell their goods because of the trade war.
Those are nice subsidies.
We're really paying for kind of everything at this point.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
So much winning that we're tired. I'm tired of all this winning.
And we're going to bail out Argentina, right?
That's what I heard.
Yes. No, we're not bailing them out, right?
He's buying a bunch of their money.
Okay.
We're doing a currency swap.
Oh, we're doing that. And also, aren't we giving Brazil, like, a whole bunch of money to defend their deposed leader or something like that?
Yes, that as well.
Yeah, so it's just like crazy, crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
Last one. You ready?
Uh-huh.
All right. The head of BlackRock. It's a very small company.
I think he's worth roughly a bajillion dollars.
What does BlackRock have?
They own everything.
But it's like several trillion?
Yes. Everything.
Yeah. They literally own everything. I mean, everything. So it's like if you just peel the layer back from one or two things, like, oh, BlackRock owns that. You know? So the CEO of BlackRock said, listen, you should retire when you want to, but you don't have to really retire at 65 anymore. Like, we could solve this retiree issue and not having enough worker bees and people, you know, not having enough money to retire. Just work longer.
Yeah.
Work longer.
I mean, I'll be the first to say I have zero intention to retire at 65.
because you're going to retire at 55.
I hope so.
Absolutely. I got my Social Security statement, Phil, and I swear to God, it said, like, you know, here's your statement, and you could look it up and see when you should take it, et cetera, et cetera. And I will need some financial planning on this when it comes down to it.
From Megan.
Yeah, no question about it, but I'm trying to get my blueprint, mm-hmm. right, my recipe for, yes, you recipe. Know, to do it. But it said, like, you know, do you want to see how long you're going to live? I'm like, oh, I don't know. No,
I wouldn't want to know.
But I typed it in, and it said that if I retired at, whatever, 65, I'm going to live to 83. There's not a snowball's chance in hell that I'm seeing 83.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's a caveat, like, you know, your lifestyle and choices are dependent on this. Like, I think I've made all those choices in the past.
I've known the toned down version of Ken for almost 20 years, and yes. I would say I'm betting against 83.
Thank you so much.
I didn't even know early days Ken.
Early days Ken was fun.
Yeah.
Fun. Not good decision making Ken.
The metal days?
You packed a lot of life into your years.
Listen, there's not a person in this room that hasn't done the exact same thing, okay? No. Phil, I've heard your stories. Ed, I've seen your stories.
I live clean, see, baby.
I've lived through your stories.
Clean living.
Yeah, okay. All right, listen, we're going to be right back with the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. We're going to wrap this up.
Great show today.
Yeah, super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And listen, the world is crumbling, so we got to have some fun at least.
And nobody thinks we're funnier than we do.
That's for sure. All right, so check this out. We've talked about Portillo's in the past. Portillo's is a hot dog stand, basically, here in Chicagoland. But Portillo's, it's a hot dog. They're trying to expand. They sold to private equity for like $500 million.
$1 billion.
Was it a billion?
Full billion.
A billion for hot dogs. Yeah. And so they're trying to expand around the country and bringing this, you know, unique Chicago product to Texas and blah, 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 blah. But their workers are also unionizing. Why? Yeah. Because they're making hot dogs, right? And French fries, and they're working in really tough conditions, and it's hot. And
the hot dogs are expensive.
And I don't think they're getting paid a ton of money.
No.
And I think it was a processing facility, too.
I think that's right.
They're trying to organize.
Look, everybody's trying to organize right now. Everybody's trying to organize. And what does Portillo's do? Pull the nuclear option lever.
And
challenge the constitutionality of the NLRB. Just like everybody else, right? Yep. So, okay. So, fast forward. And you said Waffle House did the same thing, right?
It seems like everybody now sees that that's the roadmap to get out of any unfair labor practice charges.
Yeah, why don't we just get that over with? Get it declared unconstitutional and replace it with something else.
Do away with the whole thing start over.
Or don't, and then we'll have nothing but self-help, which means strike after strike after strike. So let's get the party started.
Let's go.
Anyway, the Portillo CEO is... he left. I'm not sure why he left.
I think he got fired.
You did? You think so?
Yeah, unceremoniously.
Yeah, it was. He's been replaced with immediate effect. I think they say that when you just got fired.
Whatever.
Hot dog man. He's gonna have to find a job now. Good luck getting in a union, hot dog man.
Yeah, hot dog dude. So
it's because their performance is.
Well, they brought all these stores all over the country, and they opened a bunch in Texas. And what they found is, nobody wants to eat Portillo's in Texas. Mm-hmm. They're not interested in Italian beef.
Maybe you should do some market research first.
You know?
Right? All right, listen, we got one tiny sort of sad shout out. Yeah. But I just found out about this 2 days ago. And you go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, so it's a tribute to a woman who did an awful lot in the construction industry here in northern Illinois. Her name was Janetta Ryan. She worked for the Construction Industry Service Corporation, and for, I think, about 25 years, she went out to schools, community organizations, boot camp, you know, wherever, places where corporations are not doing hiring fairs, and she tried to connect people looking for jobs to apprenticeship programs. She would talk to people, she'd share all the information on all the apprenticeship programs and connect them, and she passed away this week. She was a very, very dear friend of mine. And when I started working with her years and years ago, she would have me meet her at schools in neighborhoods that I had never been to and probably was afraid to be in.
That's interesting. That's cool.
She walked around like she owned the place, and she always told me, you know, just treat people right. and help people out. If you can help somebody out, help them out. And
she was doing outreach before there was really like an outreach.
Yeah, program, before there were outreach, and everybody knew her. She was she believed in relationships. She did a great job. She helped a lot of people who probably never knew her name, and she never knew their name, but she blazed a trail, and she was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful
woman. Say her name again?
Jeanetta Ryan.
Jeanetta Ryan.
A lot of folks in the industry know her, and a lot of people are hurting this week because she was very well-loved.
She had just retired a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so once again, like, if you can swing it, retire when you can retire and enjoy the rest of your life because life is short.
Life is too short, but, you know, rest in peace, Jeanetta. We love
rest
you.
In peace, Jeanetta.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, listen, that's all we got. We will be back next week with more of The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Worker's Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Worker's Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.